I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. We're going to have some fun this morning. Page 835 in your Red Pew Bibles. This is one of these stories that it hits me about Thursday that I get so excited because it's just like, oh, this is so good. But then I get frustrated because I got to convey it to everybody else. And that's the worst part of it. It's just such a challenge because I mumble and I don't say, I have a limited vocabulary and, you know, but, so if you don't get anything out of this scripture today, go home and meditate on it all week and let the Holy Spirit speak to you at home instead of here on Sunday morning. I have no problems with that. We're continuing to look at Luke, as he's introducing us to Jesus. And so far, Peter and the guys have seen some miracles and demons cast out, and Peter's seen Jesus as an awesome teacher, but what he experiences today is just going to really, really blow them away. So let's pray before we jump into it, okay? Father, as we just settle down and chew on your word this morning, we asked that your Holy Spirit would work on us, that we put away any preconceived notions or any, we put away our pride. We just allow your Spirit to work in us. Lord, maybe we surrender our lives to you right now as we look into your word. And just let you take us where you want to take us. And Lord, as we do this morning and go through the scripture, don't let my words get in the way of your truth here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1, says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So we'll just get the picture. We know that, you know, Jesus is on the edge of the water. More and more people are coming. The crowd is coming. Someone shouts from the back, hey, talk up a little bit. I can't hear you. What was that last word? You know, and so Jesus is like, okay. And this area, the way I'm told, has a lot of natural inlets. And so by Jesus going out into the water in a boat, then his voice can project as it bounces off the water and more people can hear him easily. So that's what he does here. That's what's going on. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered with a sigh. Let's imagine a sigh. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Back in my college days, I went and visited a friend who had a place in New Jersey, and he and me and another friend and his father were going on this late night fishing trip. They had part of this boat charter that we went out for blue fishing. And so this is one of the things when you leave like at 9 or 10 o'clock at night and you're going to fish all night. And so we were you know, about 2 hours out into where we're going, and it's nighttime, so you can't see the horizon. And so the boat, you know, you get to where you are, and the boat's rocking, and I'm start feeling it, right? It's just like, oh, because I'd never been deep sea fishing before, right? You know, and I just felt, oh. So I made my way to the railing on the side of the boat, and I look off to my left, and there is Captain Ahab. I swear it was Captain Ahab. He was the big, portly captain, all dressed in white. He had the captain's hat on. He had the yellow things, you know, and he had the white beard. It was Captain Ahab, and he had a big barrel in front of him with a scooper on it, with a stick with a scooper, and he was dipping into that and throwing stuff into the water. He was chumming, okay? And what chum is the guts and the when you fillet a fish, it's all the stuff that you don't have that people save. Then you throw it out to wherever you go fishing to attract fish. And so he was doing that to attract fish. And I'm just there by Captain Ahab, and he's doing this, you know, and I'm feeling it. And so, of course, what happened? You know, I just lost it over the railing, and Captain Ahab shouts to me, "Hey, boy, you're taking my job." I mean, that was a horrible trip for me because I never got better. You know, you throw up multiple times. I just wanted to go home. I couldn't wait to get back to shore, you know. And I can imagine that is kind of what Peter's like in our story. He's not sick, but he's feeling of the whole night out of just, I just want to go home. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm sleepy. I'm angry because what am I going to do? Because I haven't caught any fish. And he just wants to go home. And then Jesus pops on the scene and says, "Hey, let's go back out fishing." You know, and you're kind of thinking, oh, you know, that's the last thing that he wants to do at this time. But in this story, I think we see three stages of our relationship with Jesus. And the first stage is this, is when Jesus is on the periphery of our lives. Peter is off to the side doing his work, fixing his nets, okay? Jesus is over here teaching. Jesus is kind of in the background. Peter is doing the job, doing what he has to do. He catches a word from Jesus every once in a while. He's not paying a whole lot of attention to him. He may catch the ending of a good story and kind of pop up and just say, oh, well, you know. But then he's got to go back to work. And so he's focused more on his work than he is on Jesus. And I think that's how a lot of Christians are, is that Jesus is just in the background of our lives. Jesus is on the periphery. From time to time, we hear things about Jesus that make us perk up and we're attracted to Jesus. But for the most part, we've got work to do. We've got lives to lead. And you know, we go to church when we can. We'll go to Jesus when we can. But Jesus is not a major factor. He's not a major influence in our lives. He's just on the periphery. The second stage is when we allow Jesus into our everyday lives. And that's when Jesus asked Peter, "Hey, can I borrow your boat and take me out a little bit?" And so Peter probably thinks that's pretty cool. I mean, he knows who Jesus is, and Jesus is this upstart new rabbi who's really awesome that people are drawn to, and now he's in my boat, you know? And so he's probably he's got a front row seat to Jesus. So he's really focused and he's listening to him. He's on a first name basis with him. He has a good relationship and he's happy to do something for him. I think a lot of Christians have this relationship with Jesus. We've allowed Jesus into the boat of our lives. We have a closer up view to him and his teachings. We're paying more attention to him. We're listening to him every day. We are more committed to him and to church and to serving. And Jesus is just a greater part of our life. He's just not on the periphery anymore. He's now in our boat. And we're pretty confident in that relationship. And then there's the third stage to our relationship with Jesus. And that's when Jesus wants to take us out into deep water. Now, let's remember here for a moment. Let's remember what Peter is like here. He's tired and sweaty and hungry. It's been a long night, fruitless night. Very, very disappointed. He just wants to go home. He just wants to go home and eat and sleep, okay? And Jesus comes up to him and asks him to go out. And the thing about Jesus, Jesus is no fisherman. Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about here, okay? He's a good rabbi, but he's asking him to go fishing again in the middle of the day. You ever have somebody try and tell you how to do your job? Okay? Right? I probably would work if you do it like this. I think this is what Peter's thinking here, you know? Jesus, you're a good rabbi, man. You know scripture inside and out, but you don't know fishing. And we don't go fishing during the day with the type of nets that we're using here. It's just absurd, okay? There's a phrase that has popped up in the past few years that's become popular. You ever hear the phrase, stay in your lane? Okay? And it's used as a put-down against people who express thoughts and opinions on a subject that they don't have any experience in. And so Peter essentially here is kind of telling Jesus, stay in your lane, okay? You don't know fishing like me. Some of us, we might even say that if you're Peter, you're thinking that Jesus is meddling here, okay? Don't be meddling, Jesus. I wonder if there's times in our life when we have told Jesus to stay in his lane. You know, that the Holy Spirit prompts us to do something that we know that we should do it, but, you know, we're not quite ready yet. And it's a bold step of faith for us to do it, but the Spirit is speaking to us to do it. And we're like, no, Jesus, just stay in your lane. Stop meddling in my life. Well, Jesus certainly is messing with Peter here, isn't he? He's messing with him. Because Jesus knows. He just doesn't know that he's going to have this big catch of fish. He knows what this is going to do for Peter's faith and his confidence as a child of God. He knows that. And Jesus is going to build Peter into a fully devoted follower. And so this is a step for becoming a disciple and a follower. And this is the third stage of our faith, is when we allow Jesus to guide us to becoming disciples. We can imagine, I know I imagine because I like to put myself in the story, and it would have been me. When he says, even so, Master, you know, I'll do what you say, mumbling, it ain't going to work. This is a waste of time. And sometimes that's how we go into deep waters, reluctantly. But Jesus wants to take us to deep waters. And so here in this story, I think Luke shows us some deep water lessons that we can learn. And the first one is this, and that is Jesus is constantly looking to take us into the deep waters of spiritual maturity. Of spiritual maturity. You see, Jesus isn't satisfied with just being on the periphery of our lives. Jesus just isn't satisfied with being in the boat of our lives. He wants to take us to the deeper waters of being spiritually mature. And being spiritually mature, what that means is that we become like Jesus. That is the goal that Jesus has for us, that we become like him, that we take on his character, that we do the things that we see Jesus doing. And to do that, Jesus often has to take us into the deep waters where there are challenges and where there are difficulties. That places that we're just reluctant to want to go. Because it's just easier. We're tired. And I think there's a metaphor here that deep waters are the hard things that lead to Christian maturity. The hard things. Those hard things may be, as we talked about last week, the hard thing may be having to reorganize our schedules to have more time for God, time alone with God, to serve God in the church, to free up some of our money so that we can give and tithe and serve in the kingdom. Sometimes that hard thing is when we need to apologize to someone or to forgive someone. Sometimes the hard thing is when we need to confront someone, when we do it in love. You know, too often they think of, oh, that's their business, let them go. But Scripture says, no, we're to confront in love. Sometimes that deep water is when we just keep our mouth shut, isn't it? Sometimes that hard thing we have to do is maybe leaving a job because it's sucking our time and sucking the life out of us. Perhaps it's a renewed commitment. And I'm speaking to parents. It's a renewed commitment to intentionally raising your child with a spiritual bent. That is deep waters. That is deep waters. Maybe it's a decision that you make. You know what? I need to see a counselor or a spiritual advisor or a life coach. Maybe the deep waters are just being faithful during a time of doubt or going through an illness. Is there a challenge in your life that Jesus wants you to trust Him as He leads you to the deep waters? The second thing is this, that when taking us to deeper waters, Jesus doesn't wait until we are at our best. Notice that this is not a planned event. Jesus hadn't said to Peter, hey, after you're done fishing on Friday morning when you come in, I'm going to take you back out and I'm going to show you, you know, hold on to your horses because it's going to be crazy. He didn't say that to Peter. He didn't come up to Peter and just say, oh man, I was going to ask you to go out fishing, but I see you just had a rough night and it was horrible. You're not, maybe tomorrow. Jesus doesn't say that either. Jesus shows up at a low moment in Peter's life. He's hungry, he's tired, he's perhaps even questioning his future, right? Am I still going to be a fisher? This is not good for my family. What am I going to do? He's at a low moment in his life. And Jesus doesn't wait to call us to the deep waters of spiritual maturity when we're at the top of our game, when we have it all together, when things are going well. Jesus doesn't wait until we think that we're ready. He calls us to deep waters of discipleship in spite of our frailty and our failures and our doubts, even in the midst of ordinary, busy, complicated lives. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. I mean, that's the deal, okay? When we wait till we have it all together and then I'm going to go get serious with Jesus and follow Him, it's just not going to do, right? All that Jesus says is, I'm going to take you to deep waters. We're going to do this hard thing. You got to trust me. You got to trust me. Third thing is this, following Jesus to the deep end brings unimaginable rewards. The reward for going to Jesus to the deep end is not just this great catch of fish. We can imagine, you know, the dollar signs in Peter's eyes. But there was something more rewarding than that Peter discovered. And that is, he discovered the reward of discovering who Jesus really was. Peter, at that moment, discovered that Jesus, he's not just this great teacher. He's not just this healer. He goes and he kneels down before Jesus and says, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. He realizes he's in the presence of God. He doesn't fully understand who Jesus is yet, but he understands, I'm in the presence of God somehow, some way. He discovered something more about Jesus. when we, just like Peter did, when we humbly submit and surrender our lives, and when we allow Jesus to take us to the deep end to do those hard things, we discover more of what Jesus is really like. Because a lot of us, who is Jesus to us? Well, he's our Savior. Like when I die, I'm going to heaven. Thank Jesus, right? We see him as our Savior, or we see him as our Comforter. You know, I had a rough day and I can come home and I read some scripture and I feel good and I feel the loving arms, those everlasting arms of Jesus, and Jesus just makes me feel good. Sometimes we see Jesus as the cop, right? I talked about that before. Like, he keeps me in line because I feel guilty and Jesus is the cop. But when we follow Jesus into the deep end, we begin to see Jesus as a wonderful friend and grace giver, someone who wants to bring abundant joy into our life. That's the beauty. That's the unimaginable rewards. One writer said this: what Peter describes is the same phenomenon we experience when we come to know Jesus Christ. Looking at the God-man, we feel weak, but he makes us strong. We are terrified and at the same time more exhilarated than we've ever been in our lives. And in him, we see the person we want to become. And that leads us to lesson number 4. And that is, following Jesus to the deep end brings a new sense of self and purpose. The climax of the story is not the abundant catch of fish. Luke wants to show us the important part of the story is the call of the disciples. After they encounter Jesus in the deep end, they discover not only who Jesus really is, but they discover more about who they are and who God has called them to be. They're not fishermen anymore. They're going to tell people about Jesus and about the kingdom of God. And they will follow him while leading him, while leading others and serving others. And it's in the deep end where they discover their ultimate purpose. Up until then, you think about Peter. Up until then, he's been a failure. He's fished all night, nothing to show for. That's why Jesus can say, "Hey, can I borrow your boat? Because it's obvious you're not using it. And you've got no fish that you need to go take to market, so you're free. Why don't you take me out?" Peter's just been a failure, right? And so Jesus doesn't call these guys to follow him because they've exhibited some great gifts or talents or abilities for being disciples. They're not even good fishermen. Jesus calls them after he has shown them. Catch this, all right? I'm almost done. Hang in there. Jesus calls them after he has shown that he can catch fish through them when they can't do it on their own. Peter's not told, "Hey, you're going to fish for people. You're going to catch people," because he's going to be good at it. He's going to be able to do that because Jesus is going to do it through him. And the same thing is true for each one of us. The moment that we humbly recognize that we have nothing worthwhile to bring into the Christ presence for the ministry of the church, that might be the very moment when Christ begins to use us in a way that we never could have imagined. Would you bow your heads, please? And I just want you to think about, in what area of your life is Jesus inviting you to the deep end? Are there any hard things that Jesus has been calling you to do that you just need to trust him with and go with him there? heard from the Holy Spirit. Now, what are you going to do about it? Lord, as you challenged Peter, you challenge us. May we be encouraged by Peter's faithfulness and his obedience. And so, like Peter, may we step out in obedience and surrender our doubts and our limitations and our weaknesses and our failures to you. And we humbly acknowledge our need for you. We embrace this transformational journey of discipleship and becoming spiritually mature. It's a deep water that many of us are not familiar with. Lord, may we respond to Jesus' call with courage and conviction, knowing that in following him, we will experience the abundant life that he promises. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.